Democrats defied predictions of a red wave nationwide in this week's midterms. Exit polls found that they held a narrow advantage with college graduates, but they're struggling in states like Nevada, which has a smaller share of college grads, and a bigger percent of working class voters than the rest of the country. And those working class voters supported Donald Trump in 2016 in key battleground states. Where are they now, politically? We have two guests to weigh in. First, Tim Petrowski is a steelworker. He's a maintenance supervisor at Michigan Seamless Tube in South Lyon, Michigan, in the auto corridor. Tim, hello.
Hello, good to be here.
What was the top issue this election year in your shop, as best you can tell?
I would have to say inflation is, the cost of living. That was the biggest hot topic.
Affecting kind of workers individually and the economics of your shop too?
Yeah, as far as the workers, the price of everything going up, here, even with our, in the steel industry, parts costing more, truck drivers costing more, it's across the board.
Hmm. And for your colleagues, do they in general lean to one party or the other?
Well, typically, in a union shop, which this is, unions are inherently democratic base, but at this shop in particular, it's probably closer to 90-10 Republican here at Michigan Seamless Tube.
Has that changed over time? How do you explain that?
I'd say that changed over the last maybe 6-8 years, as you've seen that turn. A lot of the older guard that is here, they're still, they stand their ground and they're still the Democratic. But the younger folks and the newer people here, they seem to just fit that narrative, right? It's like even our union leadership at the international level, they push the Democratic candidates on these guys, but they feel like, things that they want, greener energy equals, less steel, things mm-hmm. like student loan forgiveness. Well, the people mm-hmm. here, these guys, work hard, they're middle class, but they don't have student loan debt. So they feel like, that's just another thing for them to have to pay for. When they talk about working class America, it's almost like the people here believe they're not talking about them, even though the Democrats may believe they're talking about the people here. But to us, it feels like they're talking about college educated, college degree. That's their base when working America or middle class America is both. Right. I mean, that's how they kind of feel left out. Right. They're not included in that. They're almost like a problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. When you talk to your colleagues about this party shift in your shop, is there a plan, a policy, or a cultural message from the Republican Party that's resonating?
That's a good question. I don't really have a good answer for that. And a lot of it right now is whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, they blame the economy, on Joe Biden, right? The switch 4 years ago, it was good here. Now they say it's not, even though we are still just as busy as we were, right? Our backlog here has grown. It's just supply chains make it harder to get, here 5 years ago, you almost had to be related to somebody to get into a shop like this. As today, I'm looking for 25 people, if you know anybody, for a $25 an hour union steel job.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, that money seems pretty good. Is this part of this broader, we can't find skilled workers in this country?
And typically that is a huge part here for skilled trades, especially, we have a lot of them are older and we're doing things to entice them to stay with, more equipment to make it easier on them, motorized bikes, whatever it may be. Because you just can't get skilled trades anymore. But as far as just the regular labor on the floor, people, here you got to work 6-7 days a week. And even though the money's good and all that, people just don't want to do that anymore. And I think that has something to do with the COVID era where everybody got to spend time at home and they realized, that that's more important to them as to where a place like here still requires it. And people just aren't. I'm not saying people aren't willing to work. They're just not willing to work their life away, right? Six, seven days a week.
Mm. Finally, I understand you have six kids in their 20s. Is that right? Four daughters?
I do. I have four daughters.
And for those who voted, what were the key issues for them? Inflation?
Abortion. You know, I had one daughter in particular who, you know, she's 20 years old. After the Biden election and then, you know, with the inflation and everything, she's like, well, I'm never voting Democrat again, right? You know, they're taking all my money, this, that. And then Roe v. Wade gets overturned and none of that mattered to her anymore. You know, as far as like the message from the Democrats, like Governor Whitmer, for example, a commercial she had here in Michigan was her main talking point says, I can't fix inflation, but I will protect reproductive rights, deflecting from talking about the economy. You know, that it was, that was the message. And it worked.
It resonated.
You know,
it worked at least with some of your children.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of turned them, and that was the message from the Democrats, and it worked.
All right, Tim, stay on the line. We're going to bring in Sherry Lincoln as well. She's a professor at Georgetown University and has long studied working class issues. Her blog is called Working Class Perspectives. Sherry, welcome to you. What did you hear from Tim?
You know, I think a lot of what Tim is talking about is the sense that many workers have, and especially industrial workers. I think this is, it's actually much more powerful for them than it is for most of the rest of the working class. You know, about 40, 50% of the working class are not working in steel mills. They're working in hotels and restaurants and as maintenance workers and that kind of thing. But that for workers in industrial areas in particular, they feel like the issues are not being addressed to them and their concerns about the state of the economy are not being addressed. And I think, you know, I would disagree with Tim on one point, which is that I think this is not just about, you know, this year's inflation, but about a much longer history of what has happened to workers in places like that. You know, the $25 an hour someone might make in his steel mill right now is actually less, if not in actual dollars, than in what it is worth as take-home pay, than it was, I don't know when Tim started there, but, you know, for previous generations, workers like that would have made a lot more money, and they would have been at the heart of industrial policy. Workers like that have also been leaving the Democratic Party for quite a long time. This is a long, slow decline that's been going on.
And how do you see this political shift? Economically, you've described how industrial workers and their lives have become much, much harder, much more challenging. How does that overlap with many of these places becoming more red politically?
You know, I spent a lot of time in Youngstown, Ohio, and I think we see it very dramatically there. Here was a community that was a stronghold of the Democratic Party in Ohio for decades, and starting in 2016 has shifted to the right. That's not a move that started in 2016. That's a move that came off of several decades of people in that community feeling like their interests were not being addressed. And in some cases, seeing Democrats is actually causing part of the trouble. You know, if you talk to people in the auto plants in Ohio, they would have told you in the 1990s that, you know, they were never going to vote for somebody who supported NAFTA. And they associated that with Bill Clinton. So guess what? Mm-hmm. In 2016, they wouldn't support Hillary Clinton. And they don't trust Democrats, and they don't trust most politicians anymore.
Yeah, wow. I want to go back to Tim. Have you seen that?
I actually do agree with Sherry about that. And I absolutely agree with her talking about how they feel that their interests are being ignored and not brought to the forefront. And it has been a slow switch. You know, when Trump was elected, it kind of sped it up, or at least in our area, made that jump. You know, like she talked about the deindustrializing of America. And I actually read a couple of her blogs. They were really good, by the way. In 2016, when Trump was elected, you know, here, especially at this shop I can speak on, we were really slow, right? And he said, hey, I'm going to turn back on American steel and not take so much foreign. And this place almost, you know, was like turning on a switch. You know, this place went from running half production to 24/7, 365. And, you know, even today with the Democrats in office, we're still that way. We're just dealing with the supply chain issues of, you know, from COVID still. But I do agree with her.
We've been talking to Sherry Lincoln, professor at Georgetown University, who has long studied working class issues, and her blog is Working Class Perspectives. And also Tim Petrowski, a steel worker who is a maintenance supervisor at Michigan Seamless Tube in South Lyon, Michigan. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.